not doing well all the time, and she on a cane today, and she still fights her way to church. And one thing I remember when I was first visiting this church, and Claire had just had surgery on her foot, and I heard someone say, well, you know, they had just come back from Las Vegas. I should have said that. But they had jet lag, couldn't make it. And Claire had just came out of surgery with a boot on her foot and was standing up here directing a choir and singing her heart out. And I said, I want to get to know her better. Church need warriors.
Amen.
Church need warriors. We got a lot of warriors in the streets. Street warriors. We need some saved warriors.
Amen.
Just willing to die over what's right.
Amen.
Just willing to lose their life over the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you ready for warfare? That's a question that Paul is asking the church. He says, are you ready for warfare?
Amen.
We've been spending a lot of time in Ephesians. This is sermon number 34. And we're in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 10 through 20. And Paul is addressing his church. He's giving them three chapters of doctrine. 4 and 5 is on right living, how to live like you're saved, or how a saved person ought to live. And now he's introducing the enemy of the believer, and he's issuing out equipment for the battle that lies ahead of all of us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's read through verse number 20. 652 in the Pew Bibles. As they wait. Last week we talked about being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We talked about some things you need to be strong for. Some of us understand. You got to be strong to suffer in this world. Amen.
Amen.
You got to be strong to serve God in this world.
Amen.
You need to be strong to testify of the goodness of God. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, or of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Mm-hmm. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, we pray right now for churches throughout this land that have men of God that will speak boldly as they ought to speak. Men of God who will warn and direct and command the people to be ready to fight a courageous and a good fight. Preparing their people to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let them know that they wrestle not with flesh and blood. Let them know that there are evil men in spiritual high places. Equip them to stand. And when they've done all that they can do, let them keep on standing. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Are you ready for warfare? Or are you ready to rumble? You know, we talk about wrestling not with flesh and blood, and when we were coming up, wrestling was big. It may still be big, but I don't believe it's as big as it used to be. But we can go back, some of us can go back with wrestlers like Bobo Brazil and what a giant of a man, and then we had Andre the Giant. Some of us remember Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant was about 7 feet tall, and he was strong. And he was intimidating when he walked into the ring. Some of us grew up on The Rock. One of the ones that I used to just look at kind of weird was Jake the Snake. Jake the Snake would come into the ring with a big old 7-8 foot snake wrapped all around him, and that troubled me because my father, he didn't like snakes, and like father, like son, you know, and that's always bothered me. I couldn't wrestle a guy that had come in a ring with a snake around his neck. That would have been troubling. Then we had another one that just moved me the wrong way. The Undertaker. I mean, remember The Undertaker. The Undertaker, just the eyes and the long hair, and he, it was just something about him that troubled me. Now, I know I'm going to bring Karina up again because Karina liked wrestling, and so we did the unthinkable. And wrestling came, big time wrestling came to YSU. So, two things you don't want to do. Two places you don't want to go and get front row seats. The circus. See, Cindy had a habit of trying to get the best seat in the house, and we went to the circus and we got the best seat, and then I looked around and said, why do clowns got shovels? And we were sitting real close. And then I realized why they had shovels when the elephants start marching. And I didn't eat any popcorn or anything on that occasion. Wrestling was a different story. We went down to see Hulk Hogan and the British Bulldogs, and we was too close to enjoy it. Because we realized that the punches weren't landing. It was fake all the way, and I'm sitting here like, okay, this is way too close. Didn't mind. Karina still enjoy herself. But the enemy that we wrestle is real, folks. Amen. And he is waging war on the church. He is waging war on your life. He is waging war on your family. He is waging war on your flesh. He is waging war on your finances. Anybody go to gas station yesterday? And the thing about this wrestling match, there is no referee. There is no ring. There is no weight class. There was no bell and no tapping out. You're fighting a real enemy. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and 10 says, be strong in the Lord. It takes the spiritual strength to fight this spiritual war. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on. Don't leave off anything. And there's nothing in here to say you ought to ever take it off. There's nothing in here for your backside. There's no retreating. There's no turning back. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. And that word able means be strong enough to stand. Can't put on anyone else's armor. David, when he was fighting Goliath, and he came up and Saul, who stood head and shoulders above all men, said to David, who what Bible said was ruddy, here's my armor. David said, I haven't tried it yet. I haven't proved it yet. It's too big. I would have to weld it down to fit me. But we are to put on the whole armor of God. Why? To be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are wiles? The schemes and the plotting and the trickery. God gives us a few names about the devil. John 8:44 says he's a liar. And the father of lies. So when you in here and you tell a lie, really what you have done has let the world know that you are representing your father, who is a liar and the father of lies. Colossians 1, we talked about this before. He's called the power of darkness. What a name, huh? He is the power of darkness. And some of us who are in darkness and want to get out, we wonder why we can't get out. I can't stop doing this. Because you are held by the power of darkness. And there's only one way you're going to get out of that hold. And that's through the power of light. And that only comes in the person of Jesus Christ. How about this name? Found in 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 and 10. He's called the Lawless One. You know, when you watch wrestling, and some of the most popular wrestlers are the ones that could care less about the rules of the game. They bring chairs in the rings. They tuck things down into their shorts. They cut you with different things. Stone Cold Steve Austin was one. Didn't care about the rules, but he became popular. You know, Satan is popular.
Amen.
Satan is popular today in the world. We worship Satan. You know, I watch folks, the guys that like to tattoo themselves up, and they tattoo hatred on them, demonic stuff, devils and vampires. I see all this stuff. I'll just be sitting there looking at them. And they come in, and they got it on their calves and on their legs and on their arms, and I'm sitting here like, my goodness, I'm going to watch this guy. Because if you bad enough to tattoo Satan on you,
yes, amen.
I'm going to watch you.
Amen. Yeah.
Look at Revelation. You don't have to. I'm just going to say it. Revelation chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. This is a great name for Satan. Because we're talking about this enemy we're fighting. And I thought about the Undertaker when I was writing this one down. But listen to how Revelation describes Satan. He calls him the angel of the bottomless pit. What a name. These are the people that you, these are the personality of the man that we are up against as believer. The angel of the bottomless pit. How about that? How about a name like that? The angel of the bottomless pit. Look at verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, a principality is a territory. You know, when we talk about these young folks getting their heads blown off and getting killed, a lot of them, you can just be in the wrong territory. You can just be wearing the wrong colors and the wrong side of town. We seen a couple years ago, the man over on the south side was driving a Cadillac that looked like somebody else's that shouldn't have been where it was at. And they shot him all up. He died. His wife lost her legs and everything else. Because we're dealing with an enemy who just don't care. There's no rules in this game. Flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we can be mad at somebody that haven't really done nothing but made themselves available to be used by the devil. How about that? See, the Word of God says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he may be just looking for someone he can use to attack someone who's doing God's work. Amen. I hope that makes sense. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But you got to be careful how you deal with people. Because some folks just ain't strong. He's talking about not only against flesh and blood and principalities, but against powers. Against powers. Against the politics of this world. Amen. Against the financial industry, the Kennedys and the Rockefellers and the oil industry and the auto industry. Those folks run this world and they can make your life miserable. Amen. How about rulers of the darkness of this world? Turn on your TV. Watch some of the stuff that come on now compared to some of us that's older. That came on 20 years ago. It's changed because we have a different order in Hollywood. And the people have a different appetite. And we live in a supply and demand economy. And if there's a demand for murder and sex and all that, if that sells, guess what America's going to get? That's what it's going to get. I used to enjoy watching Family Feud. But now all the questions are sexually oriented. How many different things can you do with a pole? Stuff like that. Spiritual wickedness in high places. How about this one? Church folks don't like this one. But we like to think that we all right. But we've covered this before. 2 Corinthians, and it's worth covering again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan has a demon that is over religion. Explain that. I like that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We talked about this many, many times. Look at verse 13. Paul's talking to the church. He's giving them final instructions to the church of Corinth. He said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, trickery, using tricks and gimmicks, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Most of your false teachers are good looking folks. Transformed into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. If any of you believe that the serpent was an ugly thing that approached Eve in the garden, you are sadly mistaken. It most likely was the most beautiful thing in the garden. Therefore, in verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So Satan has his minions out there. And they're pastoring churches.
Yes, they are.
They're ministering to the people. And they're preaching every Sunday. They're preaching now. Mm-hmm. They heard me. Somebody may accuse me of being one of them. Is what it is.
Amen.
With all Satan's arsenal, with all that he has, you know, we have superior equipment. We have superior equipment. Because we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Let me say that again. See, the man of God or the woman of God is not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. You see, the battle's already won. All God is asking us to do is stand. And he's given us the equipment to do it. The question is, do you have on your equipment? You can have it all and still not stand. Listen, look at the first piece of equipment he gives us. Look at verse 14. He says, verse 13, excuse me. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And your evil day ain't my evil day. Some of us are dealing with evil days right now. Some of us are going through things right now. Personal health, children, family, finances, community, neighbors, co-workers. I mean, it is what it is. But Paul says, having done all, to stand. Stand on the word of God. This is what he says. Verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, your loins is your midsection. That area. And he calls it, you know, a belt. You know, in security circles, you wear a belt. And all your equipment is on that belt. Okay? You know, if you're a cop, you got your handcuffs, you got your holster, you got your mace. I mean, you got your keys, all that's on that belt. And that belt holds everything together. That's why you got so many young men sagging today. They don't have no belt on. They don't have no belt on. And they can't fight. See, now, for those who don't know me, I work at a prison. So when we got trouble in the housing unit, we know right away. And then somebody, how do you know, Pastor? Because when we walk into the block, everybody got their belts on and their pants is pulled up and they got their Timberlands on. They not walking around. And when I walk into the unit in the morning, first thing I look, if everybody walking around in flip-flops and they sagging, I'm cool. That's all right. I'm not making sense. But if I walk in a housing unit, and everybody got their Tims on. And everybody got their belts on. And they all tucked in. Something going on. Somebody got robbed. Somebody got the TV stolen. Or somebody just got a big food box in. I'll just keep it real. We need to be girded up. That's what the text is saying. And we need to have on we need to be girded up with truth.
Yeah.
Spiritual truth. Girded up with the word of God. Girded up with the things of God. So I'm going to ask you a question about why you believe the word of God said we ought to always have an answer.
Yes,
for those who ask us about the hope that is within us. You know, I talk to people. They give me all these different scenarios and all these reasons why they're doing this. And I say, well, where is that at in the Bible? And they don't have an answer. That's just how I feel. Feelings change. We don't stand on feelings. We stand on the truth of God's Word. We stand on the facts of God's Word. And it's unchanging. Amen. So Paul said in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, folks, what he is saying here in having this breastplate of righteousness, he's saying don't have your conscience seared where when you go into warfare, you got issues.
All right.
You got some unrighteous behavior going on in your life. It's hard to fight when you have mess in your life. When you are divided, when you are not focused, you got mess. You got a beef with somebody, you arguing, and folks have seen you in a compromising way. As men and women of God who are proclaiming God's Word, we don't need to give Satan any more ammunition than he has. If you messed up, if you got your conscience ain't right before God, it's hard to talk about the things of God to someone when they can see your mess. Breastplate of righteousness. It covered the chest. Paul knew a lot about these armies, these military men. They covered the chest. The vital parts. Speaks to not letting someone into your heart. Young men, young women. Be careful who you allow into your space, into your world. Well, that's my girlfriend. Or that's my boyfriend. Be careful. People hurt. Folks don't know the Lord. They hurt you. Listen. There's some truth to having a broken heart. Oh, come on, somebody. I know I'm not the only one. Some of us in here that had our hearts broken. You say, oh, how does it feel to have a broken heart? Talk to these young people. That woman came home from work. Found her boyfriend in the bed with the neighbor. They call that involuntary manslaughter. They usually don't give that type of person much time. Maybe a couple of years, and if she's on good behavior, they'll let her out. Because they say the act was caused by an emotional rage that was out of her hand. And just be careful, folks. Protect your heart. Protect your vitals. Because you can't get it back. And I always say, taking them cameras, y'all taking pictures of yourself, sending them all over Facebook. They don't come back. You can't delete them when somebody else got them on their phone. The breast plate of righteousness. Should start with 1 Peter 1:16. Jesus said, Paul, Peter was speaking here, said, be what? Holy. As I am holy, for I am holy. Okay? We talk about heaven. We always talk about heaven in this church. Peter says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Heaven is a holy place.
Amen.
A holy people. Don't a lot good happen at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
4 o'clock in the morning. Now, I remember that all those young people down at the frat house at YSU and 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
12, 13, 14 year old kids at a frat party.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens at 4 o'clock in the morning, Keelan. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 15. I'm going to roll through this. I think y'all understand that. In your feet. I like this one. I shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I talk about the Timberlands because that's what they put on when they get ready to rumble. Everybody got a set of Tims. But you know what? In golf, and I used to golf and hit the ball a long way, and I never worried about someone coming to the golf course with a pair of tennis shoes on. So you don't wear tennis shoes to the golf course. They have golf shoes. Okay? See, some of us wear Jordans because we just like wearing Jordans, but they're not designed just to be wearing with suits. Jordan was designed because they were made for basketball players for the stress that is on a basketball player's foot. Then they got running shoes. Vaughn and Jeremy went down to the track meet down at the States, and all them folks had special shoes. Okay? But the guy running a 100-yard dash didn't have on the same shoes that the person throwing the discus had on. There are different shoes for different events. There's wrestling shoes. There's nursing shoes, there's track shoes, there's baseball shoes. Baseball player don't wear the same shoes as a football player.
Amen.
But the shoes are designed for one thing. So you would have a firm foundation. And whatever sport you would participate in, it's critical that you be able to have, that you have a firm foundation. Okay? I was thinking about it. I know I'm sort of like, you know, somebody, your sermon is more for men. You women understand football now. Yes, they do. Paul and them do. They understand football. In the recent draft, they drafted offensive tackles. I don't know if it was the first three rounds or the first three players drafted. Or I know it was the first two. And these boys was 6'6", 340, 350. And you know what? They had a firm foundation. And you know why? You know why they drafted them? Because they tired of their quarterbacks getting hit. Okay? And the next players drafted was linebackers that like to knock quarterbacks' heads off. But see, the key to the whole thing is these offensive linemen have to have a firm foundation.
Amen.
Because if they don't, they get blown, they get off the runner, the defensive player run right by them or push them over in some cases. And God is calling the house of God, the people of God, to have a firm foundation.
Amen.
Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And what he's saying there is not only be sound in doctrine. Be sound in doctrine. Know what you know, but when the blitz comes, you'll be able to stand. When the blitz comes, you'll be able to stand. You don't want to get knocked over. Listen, the man of God, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, unmovable. John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness. And all the Pharisees was coming out to see him. And he said, what have you come out here for? To see a reed shaking in the wind. See, we got a lot of reeds shaking in the wind. In the pulpit. You know, they 10 years ago they was for something. Now they're against it. Now they're for it. Now they're against it. They just go back and forth. And that reed, you can hear the little seeds in the reed that's shaking. Sound like a rattle. See, and a lot of folks just rattles. They don't stand for nothing because they're not bounded and grounded in the things of God.
Amen.
So when controversy come along and somebody come along with a new doctrine, they just move with it.
Amen.
They just move right, move left, wherever they go. Whatever floats your boat. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says we ought to take the more earnest heed. We slip away. See, God's word ain't moving. It ain't changing. It's saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. It ain't moving. It ain't moving. How's your feet? Are they prepared for battle? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that they were appointed unto you. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. 2 Timothy 3:12 says that all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. See, we don't want persecution. You know, there's a whole lot of preachers saying, you know, you need to have every day is Friday. Every day is payday. Every day is wonderful. Listen, that's bad theology.
Yes, it is.
Every day could be hell for a long time. But you got to be able to stand. You have to be able to stand. I like Peter, 2 Peter 3:15 said, but sanctify the Lord Jesus where? In your heart, and be ready. When? Always. To give an answer to every man that asks of the hope that is in you. And then you do it with meekness and fear. Meekness and fear. Listen, I'm moving pretty good. We're gonna bless this young child. I hope that those that have come to be a part of the ceremony will be blessed. And they may ask, Pastor, how can I get some of that equipment? We hand it out every Sunday and Wednesday, and there's some phone numbers on the back of the program. Then he says something peculiar. Verse 16. He said, above all, this is the most important, above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all. That's a big all there. Because the true man or woman of God that has on his armor and has the shield of faith out, there shouldn't no fiery dart hit them in the thigh. Or I took one in the side. You got your enemies in front of you, so you're not taking one in the back. But this shield, a Roman shield, would cover the whole man. And then a lot of the Roman soldiers take this leather shield and soak it in water because the enemy would fire them darts. They would soak them in pitch and tar and then fire them at that shield. Oh, you had to be strong to hold the shield. This shield, because it's soaked in the things of God, is able to quench all the fiery darts that the wicked one throw. And them fiery darts may come in the form of people, words, lies, slanders. How's your shield? Let me talk about this real quick. I thought this was real good. Looking at this, when you look at some of the great men of God in the Bible, even women of God in the Bible, they had their shields on. See, Abraham had a shield of faith. He was called the father of faith. And somebody said, why is that? Because he had to have faith. Abraham took a lot of fiery darts. Here's a man almost 99, almost 100 years old, named Abraham. You understand that? Abraham means father of multitude. Now here's a man, 99 years old, walking around named Abraham with no kids. Think about that. And then he had his wife following him. She took some too. But their faith never wavered. And Abraham had Isaac. How about Noah? Think about the fiery darts that Noah took. Here's a man building an ark. And it never rained. How long did it take to build that ark? 600 years, someone said? And it never rained. 600 years, he was the butt of everybody's joke. Man, what are you doing? They called him Abraham, Noah's Folly. That was the name of the ark. Build an ark. It never rained. How about Enoch? The Bible says Enoch. Y'all know the rest. He walked with God. But you, let me say this. He never tasted death. He walked with God. But let me share something with you about Enoch. And I say this because there's a lot of young folks that you'll see them on Oprah and some of these shows, you know, and I come from a broken home, and my father abandoned me when I was little, and I was in foster care. And Enoch walked with God. Now, the harder your circumstances is, you would think that you would draw closer to God. Now, Genesis 4:17 says that Cain had a son. And his name was Enoch. Now, imagine you had a father who was the first murderer in the world. Killed his brother. That'd be enough to say, I quit. But you know what Enoch did? He walked with God. And see, some of us, in our circumstances to get bad, we don't want to walk with God. We turn to getting high and drinking and turn to, well, the gang loves me. Some will be a heartless felon or a crip or a blood or a gangster disciple. No, you need to walk with the Lord. Walk with God. Enoch walked with God. When all hell was breaking out in his life, imagine that. What did he do? He drew closer to the Lord. And what do? We walk away from the Lord when things get bad. Oh, I love Psalms 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands
in the way of
sinners. Nor sits in a seat of the scornful. Watch who's giving you counsel when all hell breaking out in your life. Watch where you go when times are bad. Somebody's turned to the booze. We turn to drinking. Go back to that lifestyle. See, they don't tell you. They don't tell you about all that stuff. They got everybody partying. Turn on a beer commercial, everybody partying. All the women are beautiful. One like that when I was going to the bars. You had to drink a whole lot. They didn't get pretty till about 2:30. Dave told me that. The more you drink, everybody start looking good. But do you understand what I'm saying? We go back. We revert back. We should be. We got the armor on. We ought to move forward. And then we look around. This is why we pray. We hold our hand. We pray. Pray for those folks that you hold a hand. Gonna be going through some stuff. And Satan saying, come back.
Amen.
See, the church will say bye bye.
Yeah.
But Satan, I welcome you back. Satan is unforgiving. I mean, he's forgiven. Come on back. Come on back, honey. Preacher wasn't no good, told all the lies, come back. Listen, I hope y'all get something out of that Enoch. And Paul talks about two weapons we have. Two offensive weapons, that's all we have, two offensive weapons. Verse 17, I didn't even talk about the helmet. Let me talk about the helmet a little bit. Protect what goes into your brain. Protect what you listen to. I guess Psalm 1 talks about it. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who giving you advice. Be careful who patting you on the back when trouble coming into your life. And if somebody giving you some advice as a man of God, a woman of God, it ought to be supported by the scriptures.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Now, where you find that at, Pastor? That should be a good, great question. Somebody give you Bible advice, where that's at in the Bible? Because everything people saying ain't in the Bible. And you know, we got a lot of folks getting into Christianity. There's a pastor in this town. He got a degree in philosophy. See, philosophy is the study of the mind.
Yeah.
Then we got psychiatrists, there's pastors, and we got folks getting degrees in psychology. And those degrees don't equip you for Christianity.
Yeah.
Be careful. There's a whole lot of folks with degrees in psychology preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever that means to you. On the helmet of salvation, protect your mind. And then he says the two offensive weapons, the sword of the spirit. Oh yeah, Hebrews 8. It's the word of God is what? Quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay? Just dividing, even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. It cut deep.
Yeah. Amen.
It cut deep. You got to be careful with the word of God. Some of us is too strong with it. Galatians talk about it. If a brother or sister in Christ is in a fault, he said, you that are spiritual. Everybody ain't able to handle this weapon. They may have something little on their shoulder, and we cut the whole shoulder off. It's a dangerous thing. The word of God is powerful. It'll convict you. It'll confront you. I hope somebody here been confronted. I hope somebody's been confronted today. And I hope it confronts you where you say, well, you know what? I need to hear more of what that man has to say. I need to hear more because I got some issues and I'm taking a whooping out here. I'm taking a whooping out here. Need the Lord. Don't think that you, because you have all this equipment, that you're ready for battle. See, Goliath had all the equipment. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of brass. He had a coat of mail and that weighed 500 shekels. His spear weighed, the head of his spear weighed 18 pounds. He didn't have a shield of a breastplate or a shield of faith. He had a man in front of him carrying it for him. But guess what? He didn't have that last offensive weapon. See, you can have all that equipment, but prayer is the gasoline that fires it all up. And Goliath didn't have it. David did. And he didn't have no equipment. But he had the power of God in his life. And he threw that smooth stone and it sunk right into Goliath's head, right under his helmet. Listen. Paul says this about prayer in verse number 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. For who? For all the saints. Okay? Praying with all prayer. How's your prayer life? You can look around here. There's enough folk in here need prayer. These young babies in here need prayer. They need prayer. They're getting ready to be brought up in a mean and cruel world. Their parents need prayer. Their grandparents need prayer. In some cases, their great grandparents need prayer.
Amen.
Raising a child is hard work. It's not easy. That's right. Some folks raising themselves and raising a child. And that's double trouble.
Amen.
Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. What's that mean, Pastor? In the Spirit. You praying in the Spirit of the Lord. You filled with the Holy Ghost. You filled with God's Word. Your life is driven and moved by the things of God, by the Word of God. The Word of God guides and directs you. And now, when you pray, your prayers will be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means, praying in the Spirit. That's why I say everybody can't pray for you. Everybody's not in the Spirit. I ask them all the time, I say, I'm going to pray for you. Who are you praying to? I'm praying to God. Which God? What do you mean, which God? I heard that. Somebody said, which God? I say, which God? What do you mean, which God? Only one. No, there's more than one. The God I want you to pray to for me has a son named Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross, was buried, and rose on the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of God with all power. That's the God I want you to pray for me. Any other God, just don't cut it. And there's a lot of gods out there. All right. That's why we need prayer. Look at verse 19. I'm closing. I'm closing fast. And for me, Paul said, and for me, as authority, and for you, all you deacons and trustees, all you leaders in the church, this goes for you. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Boldly. Not to tell the world what's on my mind. I hear people say, well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, I'm going to tell them what I feel. No. That ain't why you want to open your mouth boldly. You want to open your mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And it takes power and courage and strength to do it. Because we got too many undercover brothers. Undercover Christians in camouflage. I don't even know any Christians. You get them in a secret place. I'm a Christian. You? Yeah. I ain't going to tell y'all that story. Somebody want to hear it. I'm going to tell it. Where Ray at? There was a man who worked at the shop, and the boss came and said, I'm transferring you to another department. So he came home and he was all messed up by the other department, man. They'd be watching porn and cussing and swearing, sneaking drugs and drinking in there. And they said, I'm moving you to that department. And he came home and said, honey, I'm in trouble. They're getting ready to move me to the worst department in the plant. And if they find out that I'm a Christian, they're going to mock me and ridicule me and say all manner of evil against me. And his wife said, honey, just be calm. Everything will be all right. So he went to work the next day, and he survived. He came home, and his wife waiting at the door, honey, how's your day go? And he said, they never found out that I was a Christian. We got a lot of folks like that. We don't want to take one. We don't want to take a hit. Lord have mercy. Listen. Look at verse 20. For which I am an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? One who represents brothers the country. We are ambassadors for God. Our job is to represent God wherever we go. Amen. We're going to wave flag. We need to wave the Christian flag. We don't need a real flag. I just walk in the door. See, when I walk in a place, everybody say, oh, Lord have mercy. Here goes Reverend Neil. Whole atmosphere change. Not because I got this collar on or nothing. It's just, you know, I don't want to hear it. They know I don't want to hear it. And I have that right. I haven't worked for it. It just comes with your profession of faith. Walking around with the breastplate of armor on. Living a godly life in a sin-sick world. People have respect for the things of God. Don't let this world make you think they don't. Amen. Paul said that I may what? Speak boldly as I ought. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. But he knew something about the gospel. He says in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first, then the Greek. See, God's word has power. It's not got nothing to do with the sower. It's all in the seed. And if you're here today, seed was planted in you. You will be without excuse. When you stand before the Lord, you will be without excuse. Nobody preached the gospel to me. And the Lord would say, liar. You went to church that day, and that bald head man spit and hollered and screamed and told you, you need Jesus. He said, be holy, for I am holy, and without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Get your armor. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power that's in the word of God. Thank you for hearts receptive to it. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for a place where we can call our home and we can come in and preach the word of God still. Thank you for equipping us to understand that we have a real enemy, and he is tactful. He is wily. He is an imposter and a deceiver of the brethren. He has a name called the angel of the bottomless pit. Thank you, Father God, that we're not in that line. That we, because of grace, we are no longer on the road to hell. And you saved us. You called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, and we